Officer Holder was just 33 years old. A five-year veteran on the force, he was killed while chasing a suspect last night in East Harlem. Moments ago, Chopper 2 was over the scene as a police van carrying the body of Officer Holder arrived at the Jeremiah Gaffney Funeral Home in Inwood. Dozens of police officers and firefighters standing still, quietly saluting the fallen officer. Officer Holder also being honored tonight now in East Harlem outside his police precinct. CBS 2's Dick Brennan there, live with more. Dick?
Well, Dana, we can tell you many members of the clergy from around New York City have gathered. They are arm in arm. They've been saying psalms. The idea is to support Officer Holder, to support police officers, and of course, to honor his memory. In the meantime, there are many questions tonight about the man accused of shooting Officer Holder and why he was ever on the loose. Growing up, Officer Randolph Holder always wanted to be a police officer, just like his father and grandfather and great uncle were back in his native Guyana.
So he came here wanting to serve, and you know, the father tells a story of how he called him and said, "When I come here, I want to become a police officer." And he served this city immaculately.
Last night, Holder responded to shots fired near the East River houses. Police say he came face to face with a gunman, 30-year-old Tyrone Howard, who was fleeing from a drug shootout on a bike and had been on the run from cops for weeks.
He pulls out his weapon and he fires one time, striking the officer in the front of the head.
Police say Howard was a career criminal with 28 arrests, including one for allegedly shooting an 11-year-old in 2009. And he was being hunted by police in connection with the shooting of a man just last September.
There was a shooting towards an East Army gang member, and he's ID'd, and we've been hunting him since then.
Officer Holder grew up in Far Rockaway and was moving up fast in the NYPD. He was only one step away from detective, but always knew about the danger on the job.
He would say, "You don't know how I face it out there. You don't know what I have to go through. You don't know where I work. Where I work is PSA 5. You don't know the people up there and how I got to stand up and make my money when the night comes."
Now, for the fourth time in 11 months, the NYPD is mourning the murder of another brave officer.
We always talk about, and you'll hear me when I deliver the eulogy for this officer, that we hope it never happens again. But the reality is, in this world we live in, it will happen again.
Now you're looking at purple bunting atop the precinct where Officer Holder works and where right now many officials, many people from around the tri-state area have gathered to have a vigil in his honor. In the meantime, as for the alleged gunman, well, he is in custody, he's out of the hospital, and he's being questioned by police. We're live in East Harlem. Dick Brennan, CBS 2 News.
For the fourth time in 11 months... it's a little bit much. I'm actually tired of mentioning it. We need to get the guns off the street. De Blasio has to wake up. Bring back stop and frisk. This is JDR and this is CD67 live on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS on Podomatic.com. Taiwan Kwan. Your-poetry.com, David Robinson at blogspot.com, and don't forget the Complaint Department YouTube channel. I kind of got my stuff back together today. I got, you know, the computer's working fine. I hope it works out. All right, anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Panic and confusion at the scene of a deadly attack. At this school in Sweden, a young man wielding what appeared to be a sword burst in Wednesday morning, killing two and injuring two others. One of those brutally murdered, the teacher, the other, a pupil. These men and women now in a state of shock as details start to emerge of this murderous rampage.
He had a mask and was wearing black clothes. He had blue eyes, but it said he had contact lenses in and with black around his eyes. That's how he is described. We thought it was a joke, Halloween or something.
The attack took place at the Cronin School in the town of Trollhättan in the southwest of the country. A small community that only numbers roughly 50,000 people now trying to comprehend why someone would commit such a crime. Police say they neutralized the man as quickly as possible.
When arriving here, we met a man armed with knives wearing a mask attacking the officers on arrival. We fired two shots, where one hit and incapacitated the man so that we could arrest him. He has been taken to hospital to be taken care of for the gunshot wound.
A gunshot wound that ultimately proved fatal to the masked attacker, officials say, as those left lying in hospital beds continue to fight for their lives. Fred Plotkin, CNN, London.
Folks, have you ever asked yourself, and I know you probably have, you know, why people do some of the things that they do? I mean, because it's really weird. In the last week or so, I mean, we have Randolph Holder being shot by a guy that shouldn't have even been on the streets in the first place. And, you know, the whole justice system failed us at that point because they basically hand-tied the judge and, you know, made the judge send the man to a rehab program when he should have been in prison, you know? And then you think about this guy in Sweden with a sword. I mean, a sword. Give me a break. And then it was just recently, just a couple of days back, there was a 4-year-old girl in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who was shot by a road rage moron who drove up. There was some incident between the two vehicles. He drove up. There's mom, pops, sister, and brother in the car. And he takes out a gun and starts shooting in the car and he hits the girl in the head. Give me a damn break, okay? Seriously, people. And I think one of the freakiest things that I heard was, and I'm not sure, was this in Los Angeles or was this Newark? I'm not sure. This guy, this is really funny. This guy was late for his flight. Ladies and gentlemen, his flight is taxiing. He gets his bag. And he runs through one of the security doors and chases the plane. The plane is taxiing. What the hell did he think was going to happen? It's not a bus. They're not going to stop and open up the doors. What was this moron even thinking? And of course he was arrested. And I mean, it's just, sometimes you wonder where our society is headed, because you hear about so many freaky things that people do. And I mean, there are dumb things that people do. I've done dumb things, you know, but not to hurt anyone or to take advantage of anyone. If anything, I would be the one on the losing end, you know. But you get these people that did. I mean, I would never think of running out on the tarmac of an airport to try to catch a plane that is taxiing. What does that come from? It boggles the mind. CD67 on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS. My name is JDR. Don't forget, Complaint Department YouTube channel. I'll be back a bit later, okay? All right.
France is reeling from its most deadly road crash in more than three decades. The collision of a tour bus and a truck killed at least 42 people. Both vehicles burst into flames. The accident happened near a village outside Bordeaux. Mark Phillips is in London with why so many people were killed. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. The busload of elderly tourists had set out on a day trip. They were due to travel from Bordeaux, the region in western France, and down to the Pyrenees in the south, but they didn't get far. The bus had just set off when it was involved in a head-on collision with a truck on what witnesses say is a dangerous bend in the two-lane highway. Both vehicles apparently caught fire, and most of the bus passengers were trapped inside, which explains the high death toll. Those who survived seem to have gotten out when the driver, who also survived, managed to open the door. He's reported to have said the truck was on his side of the road and that he couldn't avoid it. The tragedy on this scale brought France's foreign and interior ministers to the scene along with emergency services. French President François Hollande, who was on a visit to Greece, called the accident an immense tragedy and expressed the sympathy of the nation. An investigation has been launched. Gail?
Thank you, Mark. I can do. You got me, don't want me. I need to find something to let those feelings loose.
Saturday Night Live last night, because Democratic debate, well, we can laugh at ourselves.
You laugh. What?
What does the email scandal say about your ability to handle other crises as president?
Well, Coop, I welcome this question because I rehearsed this one the longest.
You know what? Can I just jump in here? This may not be great politics, but I think the American people are sick and tired about hearing about your damn emails.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Bernie. God, it must be fun to scream and cuss in public. I have to do all mine into tiny little jars.
Hey, what's the deal with emails anyway? I forgot my password the other day, so they say, we'll email you a new one. But I can't get into my email to get the password.
We'll be right back.
So, folks, what you're listening to right now is there is a water main break at Queens Boulevard, not very far from where I live, and I mean it's like gushing tons of water, and the soundbite that you are hearing is basically from the fire department and from people that, I mean, because it flooded so much space. I mean, it really, it flooded a few, I think 7 houses had to be evacuated, several stores, and it's like all over the place, the water. It was a couple of, because it was some construction workers, and they were digging into the ground, and they accidentally hit this water main, and it is gushing like, you know, Yosemite. I mean, it's really, it's kind of crazy. If you haven't heard about it, the trains are running really bad, and it's just a lot of crazy stuff going on at the moment right now. Anyway. This is JDR, CD67 on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS. You can barely hear me, right? I know. Listen, I'll be back a little later. Alright?
at Wrigley Field. The Mets going for the sweep. The Cubs trying to stay alive. Steven Matz up against Jason Hamill in the first. Lucas Duda jumps on Hamill. It's a three-run blast. The Mets take a 3-0 lead. Next batter up, Travis d'Arnaud makes it back-to-back. New York all over Chicago early, 4-0. In the second, tacking on, two outs. It's Duda again, this time a two-run double-up. Travis Wood makes it 6-0. In the fifth, now 6-1. Bartolo Colon on in relief of Steven Matz escapes the jam by striking out Chris Bryant. Then in the eighth, it's Daniel Murphy again. Are you kidding me? Six straight postseason games with a home run. That's a new major league record. Mets up 8-1, now 8-3 in the ninth. J.R.E.'s Familias strikes out Dexter Fowler to end it. And the Mets go wild as they take it 8-3, sweeping the Cubs and advance to their first World Series since 2000. Murphy wins NLCS MVP. The Mets now have 5 full days of rest. Game 1 of the World Series not until Tuesday night. The Mets go for their first title since 1986.
Hey folks, this is CD67 live on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS, Podomatic.com, David Robinson at Blogspot.com, Tower Quant at your-poetry.com, and do not forget the Complaint Department YouTube channel, okay? At this moment, I'd just like to give my shout-outs to the ASPCA and the FDNY and my brothers and sisters, the New York Police Department. I'm getting kind of choked up because, you know, this another cop being shot is just, you know, it shouldn't be happening, and it is happening under a mayor that has more words than resolutions or solutions. I mean, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But he comes out and he talks like, I don't know, what is he, Caesar? It's, come on, give me a damn break. So, my brothers and sisters at the FDNY, my brothers and sisters at the NYPD, my brothers and sisters in the military, all first responders, EMS workers, Judge Judy, my girl, and to everyone that listens to me, all of my Freunde in Deutschland, ich weiß, ich habe kein Deutsch gesprochen in den letzten paar Sendungen, aber ich würde das schon machen, aber langsam, okay? Langsam. And thank God, folks, I was able to do this show without a whole lot of problems, because my computer has been freaking out since I've upgraded from Windows 8 to Windows 10. It's just been totally freaking out, but today it just let me do what I want to do, and I'm happy for that, and I'm happy for your listening, and I hope that you will be back next week, or go to the Complaint Department YouTube channel. Anyway, folks, thank you very much. I'm not gone. There's going to be a little bit left, okay? So just keep listening, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Some parents really struggle with, like, all the other kids have the terrible thing, so my kid has to... Yeah, let's let you know. Let your kid go and be a better example to the kids. They doesn't, just because the other stupid kids have phones doesn't mean that, okay, well, my kid has to be stupid, otherwise she'll feel weird.
Right.
You know, I think these things are toxic. I don't, especially for kids. It's just this thing. It's bad. And right. they don't look at people when they talk to them, and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean, and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, you're fat. And then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that.
Right.
But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write you're fat, then they just go, that was fun. I like that.
So... tasted good.
Yeah, exactly. You need, the thing is, you need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away.
Yes.
Is the ability to just sit there like this. That's being a person, right?
Yes.
No one can, they gotta, you gotta check. Because, you know, underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that empty, forever empty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
just
I know what you're talking about.
Knowledge that it's all for nothing and you're alone. You know, it's down there. And sometimes when things clear away, you're not watching it, you're in your car and you start going, oh, no, here it comes that I'm alone. Like it starts to visit on you. You know, just the sadness.
Yes.
Life is tremendously sad just by, you know, being in it. And so you're driving, and then you go, that's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of people driving are texting.
Yes.
And they're killing, everybody's murdering each other with their cars.
Yes.
But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second because it's so hard. I was in my car one time, and a Bruce Springsteen song comes on. And it made me really sad. It's like Jungle, what's the one, Jungle song?
Jungle Land.
Jungle, this one where he goes, hurry! And he sounds far away. You know, I was like,
that's half of them.
Yeah, that's a lot of them.
No, he goes, yeah,
exactly. And he's really far away sounding. Can you do it with the reverb? Can you do it? No, they're not doing it.
They're not trying to.
So, except for it was Springsteen. If it was you doing that, I would have been like, what the hell is that in my radio? But it was Springsteen.
I did it just the same as Bruce.
And I heard it, and it gave me kind of like a fall back to school depression feeling. It made me really sad.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'm getting sad. I got to get the phone and write hi to like 50 people. And then, you know, somebody cool writes back, and then somebody not as cool writes after, and I'm like, oh, f*** you, I'm not going to... I got somebody better. But,
hey, how come you didn't answer my text?
Speaking of which.
Yeah, well. Yeah, because he wrote first. That's right. So, anyway, I started to get that sad feeling, and I was reaching for the phone, and I said, you know what? Don't. Just be sad. Just let the sadness, just stand in the way of it, and let it hit you like a truck. And I let it come, and Bruce, and I just started to feel, oh, my God. And I pulled over and I just cried like a bitch. I cried so much. And it was beautiful. It was like this beautiful, it's just this sadness is poetic. You're lucky to live sad moments. And then I had happy feelings because when you let yourself feel sad,
yes,
your body has like antibodies. It has happiness that comes
rushing in
to meet the sadness. So I was grateful to feel sad, and then I met it with true, profound happiness. It was such a trip, you know. And the thing is, because we don't want that first bit of sad,
We
push it away with like a little phone for the food, and you get a little kind of. You never feel completely sad or completely happy. You
right.
just feel kind of satisfied with your product.
Yes.
And then you die. So that's why I don't want to get a phone for my kids. That's what I'm going to do.
Hard time. never saw baloney in me. All I was trying to say was take my hand. I need you now to show me a better place.